Okay, so I just want to add on what Luke was getting to, and I think it's such a profound thing that he was sharing. So many times when we think of Jesus and what he has done for us, we think of everything that he has taken away. So the typical Sunday school answer is, why did Jesus die on the cross? And all of us would say, for our sins. So we're only focusing on the taking away of something. But there's actually so much more to what Jesus did than just taking away our sins. So his first priority was to restore relationship with the Father. So that means that all distance between us and God, all distance between you and the lover of your soul, of you and abundant life, all of that was taken away in Jesus. It's amazing. You're allowed to be happy about that, okay? But then the other thing that he's also doing is he's revealing who you really are. So the distance between you and the Father is taken away, and suddenly you hear his voice and you hear his identity that he speaks over you. And then you start falling in love with yourself, not from a point of view where you want to become somebody that's more like the other person's Instagram highlight reel, but you fall in love with the person that God has created you. And there's a confidence that comes from that place that we really need in the body of Christ and in this church, is that revealing that should happen. Do you know it's not wrong to love yourself? You're allowed to love yourself. Amen. So, take your hands, put it around your body like this. Say, I love you. Kom jy aan? Ek is lief vir jou, Mark. If you don't understand English, I love you means ek is lief vir jou. Okay. So it's not a selfish thing, but it's the ability to see yourself in the way that God has created you to be. And if you're not going to walk in that, you're not going to experience the fullness of God. Because most of us, we're trying to be someone else, but there's actually, in the cross, there's a revealing of who you already are. And I think that's what Kanye also so beautifully put. He said, it's the Spirit groaning inside of us that's revealing who we really are. So, one of the things that I felt God saying through the worship is that you fall in love with yourself again, and not who you want to be or who you want to become, or to put yourself on a pedestal or idolize yourself. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching to the revelation of who you really are in Christ Jesus. Okay, say this after me. I'm going to fall in love my beautiful nose again. Amen. So I was on this trip, and one of the guys, he's actually sitting right here in the front row on my left. So he looked at me and he said, Arnold, people never tease you about your nose. So I have to tease him tonight about my nose. Thanks, Cassidy, for that comment. I really felt that that's what the Spirit said tonight. And if you need to be obedient to this, you need to start loving you. And there's some of you that think people are going to think you are weird if you start being yourself. And then you must get over that fear, because that's a fear of man. It's not a fear of God. But also, you need to not be the one that you believe the world wants you to be, but just be the one that God created you to be. Amen. Great. Awesome. So that's the first sermon. Thanks, Luke, for that. I think that was really something. And let's go for it. Next week, let's continue doing this thing. So the more you get into the presence of God, the more there is this unveiling of who you really are. And the more you become aware of who you are, the more people will also become aware of who you are. Like, hey, I never saw that in you, Thomas. Hey, I never saw that in you, Anelma. Wow, is that... wow, that's amazing. That's great. The one beautiful thing about love is that love actually reveals the beauty in the other person. So who's the lover of our soul? God. So if you spend time with God, God loves you, and you, it almost exposes that vulnerable place of just being yourself. I remember one of the biggest compliments that my father-in-law gave me when he saw my wife Cornell again, is he said, "Your Amo, Cornell is more beautiful now than she was when you married her after like a year into marriage." And I thought, man, that's so amazing. But when I thought about it, it's actually in that love that I have for her, and also obviously her pursuing the relationship that she has with God, that she had this unveiling, revealing thing taking place of who she really is. Because I can tell you, the way that God created you is amazing and it's beautiful, and the world needs that. So just walk in that. Don't try and be somebody else. If you need to wear a hat like Philip, just wear a hat to church like Philip. If it needs to be a flat cap like Pierre, just come with it. One of the things that I'm looking for in churches when I'm looking for the Holy Spirit that moves is that there must be a diversity. If everybody looks like Luke and myself, then we're just creating copies of ourselves. Yes, there is, like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, but you don't have to dress and look and do everything that we are doing. You have to be yourself, because in that there's a fullness of Christ that's going to be revealed to the world, and the world really needs that. That's part of just the Great Commission, just to go for that. That's why they're people, they love the word, they'll go into detail, technical detail, and they're the teachers. Then there are these prophetic, wild, crazy people, and we need that. Then there's the people that's pioneering, the apostolic, they just want the kingdom to come in power, and we all need that. We need the evangelists, the people just going after the souls. All they want is people to get saved. And then there's the loving people, they just want them, come into my huddle, I want to feed you, I want to help you, I want to support you. We need all of that, the fivefold ministry, all of the diversity is needed. So just be yourself. Love yourself enough and love this world enough just to be yourself, because you're the biggest blessing to this world. Amen. Great. So I'm talking about Jesus' world. So we had this this experience. We went to Sri Lanka. Thomas and Cassidy, they went with me, and Paula and Leon and Armand, they can't be here tonight, but they also went. And Luke went to Malawi with you guys. We are all the Malawi guys. So all over the place. And then we had the local missions. Where's JH? Yeha, him and his whole crew. And then we actually have from Shofar Potchefstroom. Sabrina was actually the leader of a team that went to Swakopmund, a girls' missions leader. Yes, you can do that. She's from George. She's amazing. She's sitting next to Yana, who's also amazing. Yana's she's leading the missions team to the Kennedy House every day and helping out with the kids and stuff. So, yeah, we just want to bless you and honor you for going all over the world and all over George just to serve God. But one of the things that we experienced is when we were in Sri Lanka is that everybody wants to show us something. They're like, hey, this is where the beach where the tourists hang out, and this is where the government, this is the embassy, and this is this, and this is this, and this is this. So it's us being introduced to this world that they know. And Jesus did a very similar thing. And we can turn to Mark 1 verse 15. So Mark, if you're lazy, like some of you are sometimes, then go to the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest book in the Bible. By the way, you're allowed to bring your Bible to church. Like we always say, it's a new thing that we're introducing to church. You can bring your Bible. It's amazing. And according to Mark, this is the first sermon that Jesus preached. It's a one-liner. He says the following: the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So, Jesus, in a way, is introducing us to his world. He's saying, hey guys, I have arrived in this world, but I'm so amazing. I'm not like a tourist going to another nation so that the people of that nation can show me what's happening in that nation. No, I actually bring my nation to to you. That's just how amazing I am. I can't help myself. I'm just bringing my world to you. And I tell you, it is close by. The kingdom of God is at hand. Do this. Okay. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's nearby. It's arm's length away from you. It's available. That's what God's saying. It's available for you. So Jesus is saying, hey, this is my world. I want to introduce you to my world. Yes, you have amazing stuff, but I'm going to introduce you to my world because I know it's more amazing. I know of all your trouble. I know of your pains. I know of your identity struggles. I know of your addictions. I know of your sin. I know of all of that. But I love you so much that I want to introduce you to my world where the loving Father is the King. I want to reveal that to you. And he gives us two tools to get to this world. And we're going to look at that later. So let's look at Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. According to Luke, so Luke's always a little different. This is the first sermon Jesus preached. So Jesus, after he went out of the desert, came into the synagogue, and he started reading from Isaiah. So just on the side, just think of this. Jesus starts his ministry by quoting another person. Imagine you being that person. Maybe there's some of you that needs to write something under the Spirit's influence that when Jesus comes back, he's going to pick up your book, he's going to pick up your notepad, and he's going to start reading it. Imagine how Isaiah must feel. Jesus quotes Isaiah. It's amazing, huh? Think of it. Who of you are good writers? I know Philip's a good writer, and Elmo's a good writer. Maybe you just start writing stuff under the influence of the Spirit. Imagine Jesus doing that. Amazing. So he says the following, and he applies it to himself. He's actually just reading scripture. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So he's saying, hey, guys, in my world, this is what's happening. I'm going to bring it to your world because I actually am anointed to do this. I can bring my world to your world, and I can establish the things that's happening in my world, I can bring to your world. It's like when we were in Sri Lanka, we spoke to a lady there at the embassy, and she said, there's a spar coming to Sri Lanka. And this, in a way, is what Jesus is also doing. It's like, hey, I'm from South Africa, I'm from this heavenly country, and I'm bringing my spar to you because you don't have good grocery shops like spar. I'ma love a spar, ne? Spar. This is what Afrikaans say. So, and Jesus is saying, this is what's happening. I'm going to bring and I'm going to establish it in your world. So I want you to discuss in groups of three or two. Look at that piece of scripture and imagine yourself sightseeing in heaven and discuss with one another, what are the things that Jesus is saying is happening in heaven that he wants to bring to earth? What are the things that he is seeing that he wants to see in earth? Just discuss it with one another. Be very practical. Too quick. Okay, great. So Jesus is saying he has the power to establish these things in this world. It's literally like us going to Sri Lanka and we're saying, everything that we have in South Africa, like a good traffic system, because they don't have a good traffic system, we're going to establish there. Because we have the power to do that. Because we are filled with the anointing of good traffic system builder to do that. That's what Colleen also said. So Jesus is saying, I have the power to do this, these things. And I'm just going to run through a couple of things that I felt God laid on my heart through this. He says, good news to the poor. And it was not only, he's not only bringing news to the poor, but he's actually, there's no poverty in heaven. He has the ability to bring poor people out of that, because it's not only a financial problem, but it's a mindset problem. And there's so many other social issues that goes with poverty. He says, I'm preaching the good news to the poor because I know in heaven there's no poverty. I'm bringing that to your place. I have the anointing to do that. Then he says, proclaim liberty to the captives. And you can say there's no prisons in heaven. So I'm going to use prisons for education centers. That's what I'm bringing to the table. That's what I want to establish on this earth. Yes, we know it's also demonic oppression. It's people that's suffering due to oppression by the devil, whether it's depression or whether it's illness or sickness or bad relationships. But he's bringing all of that to us. And he's saying, hey, this is my kingdom. This is my kingdom. I'm coming from this side and I'm jumping into your world and I'm going to drag this whole thing. If you're willing to take and step into this, I'm going to drag this whole thing into your realm so that you can have all the benefits of this kingdom. And then it says, recovering of sight to the blind. Yes, and I agree with what they were saying. It's literally that God wants to heal sickness. If somebody tells you it's not God's will to heal sickness, they are lying. It's always God's will to heal. We don't know how it works because in the day, all of us die, or most of us die. There are two people or three people in the Bible that didn't die. Enoch, Elijah, and Jesus himself. So maybe some of you might not die. But he wants to establish that supernatural healing force. And sometimes it's through doctors, yes, I agree, or medication or science. But it's also supernaturally that he wants to establish that thing. And he wants to give us perspective on who we are, perspective on who God is, and perspective on who other people is. One of the great things for me about this church is that people can walk in that door and people are not looking at, wow, that guy, the clothes that he's wearing, but they're looking at the heart. And I've had so many testimonies of people coming to me and say, oh, well, this is the first place I don't feel judged. Like, well, I love that. Because what people in this church, their eyes are different. Their eyes have been opened to the gold in the person and not necessarily how they look, what they're wearing, what kind of wax or gel is in their hair. Ne, Victor. Okay. Victor, I think you might begin gel. And then, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, so no oppression. There's none of that exists in the kingdom of God. None of that exists in heaven. Can we agree? And he wants to bring that to us. Do you understand the powerful statement that he's making? He says, my will is coming with and it's at hand. It's an arm's length away. If you're willing to pursue me, you can access my kingdom. And it's not only for your sake, but it's for all your friends and family. It's for everyone. And then the last thing that he's saying, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he's talking about the year of Jubilee, where all debt got written off. If you were leasing out your property, or somebody bought your property from you because you didn't do financially too good, you can get that property back. That's how the Jewish system worked on the 50th year or the 49th year. That's how it worked. But he's also saying that in this kingdom, all of you have favor with the king. That's massive. All of you have favor with the king. And I told the story in the morning service. So in Stellenbosch, we had some trouble with some of the leaders in administration. And eventually I started building relationship with this one guy that we usually had trouble with. And I remember thinking to myself that there was this point in our relationship where he started asking me questions about about how we do stuff and how he wants to incorporate what we're doing into what they're doing on a very low level. And I was thinking to myself, I actually have favor with this guy now because of this relationship. And I felt like, wow, man, this is a massive open door for the kingdom in Stellenbosch. And this was just a guy in the administration building in Stellenbosch. Imagine if that guy that you have favor with is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Imagine that kind of open door that you have. You have favor with God. And some of you are sitting here and you're feeling like, no, that can't be true, because you feel like so sinful and so useless, and the devil is accusing you and you're full of this and full of this. No, you have favor with God. You have favor with God. It's a massive statement. That's a sermon on its own. Luke 12 verse 32 for me is a key in unlocking this thing, because it has a lot to do with our minds. It has a lot to do with our minds. The way that we think about the kingdom and about our relationship with the king. And Jesus is saying, fear not, little flock, scorpies, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So Jesus is coming from heaven and he's stepping into our world. He's preaching about the kingdom. He's telling man, this is what's happening in my kingdom. I'm bringing it to you. But not only am I bringing it to you, and I'm building like a massive wall like Donald Trump wants to build between America and Mexico. No, that's not what Jesus wants to do. He's saying, I'm opening the doors for you to come into the kingdom, because it's God's good pleasure. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you all of this. If you're going to walk in the kingdom, and if you're going to make any difference in this world, you must know that God wants to give you his whole kingdom. He wants to give you the resources to build this kingdom. Because it's kingdom resources. He wants to give it to you. He wants to bless you with a husband. He wants to bless you with a wife. He wants to bless you with good friendships. He wants to bless you with a business that will be a kingdom business that will make a difference in the world. He wants to bless you. It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So here's the important thing. Some of us, and some of you are sitting here, you can relate to God as a king. If somebody asks you, hey, who's king of the world? You're like, Jesus, he is king of the world. You know that. All of us know that in our minds. Most of us. And then some of you relate really well with God as a dad, because he's my dad. He's my dad. But this scripture actually brings both of them together. He's saying, the king of the world, of the universe, is also my dad. It's a massive difference. If your dad is the king, it means that you have access to all of his kingdom. That is your inheritance. Like, I walk into my parents' house in Rawsonville. I know how to unlock their door without a key. I can go straight to one. Usually what I do, because although I'm skinny, I love eating. So I walk into the Spence. What's a Spence? Pantry. Into the pantry of my dad's house, and open the fridge, and I'm like, what is there to eat? And if there's something nice, I'll just take it and eat it without even asking my dad and my mom. And I'm a grown-up man. That's what we do. That's our kind of relationship. And when my dad or my mom catches me, they're not offended. They're not like, oh, you're a bad boy. Oh, you can't believe you did this, man. You drove all the way to come and eat all our stuff. Yes, you're such a bad kid. No, they love it. Why? Because we have a relationship. They are my parents. My dad's my dad. But I also know that his resources are my own resources. Yes, I had to learn and understand how to steward it. When I was younger, I couldn't just take the car and say, Dad, cheers, the Hanek. But I had to build this relationship with him, and that's the thing that also needs to happen in the kingdom. You need to build a relationship. And then you're like, wow, this is actually to my disposal. God uses or gives me the kingdom and the resources to do that. So here's the important thing. God is king. And he owns everything. It's a poem. God is king and he owns everything, but he's also dad. Your dad. It says here, it's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then, if we go back to Mark 1 verse 15, it says the kingdom of God is at hand, and then gives us two tools to get into this kingdom. The one thing is to repent. So repentance has two aspects. The one is that born again experience. So you're like, God, I can't save myself. I need to be saved by you. And you're like, surrender yourself. You surrender your past, your future, everything about you. Just go, Jesus, I can't do this. And God actually comes in his great mercy and grace, and he takes hold of your life and he turns it upside down, and you get a born again experience. Your spirit gets renewed from the inside of you. That's like the first initial experience. But repentance has more than that. It is this ongoing process of renewing, especially your mind, because repentance, that word means metanoia. It means to have a change of mind, to renew your mind according to how good God is. That's the first thing. But also in how you need to live your life. How do you change a horse, a horse's direction? You pull that eidung. And then his head goes. Why? Because his head, your body will follow your head. So some of you must think differently. You need to rewire your brain about who God is and how God loves you, and that he's your dad and he's the king. Even if you're only saved for one day, God can open up so much more to you if you can rewire your brain to the fullness of who he is and what he has for you. So that's the first thing. Repentance, it's powerful. You need to do it every day. Just turn your head. And a very important thing here, especially for the younger people, is get all the filth out of your mind. In other words, you must know how to take care of your mind, and especially the stuff that you put into your mind. Music, news, social media, thoughts that other people have about you, or words spoken over you, all of that. Get rid of that. Get into the Word. Say, Jesus, I want my head to be renewed according to your Word. Come to Bible school. We're starting next week after that. On the 25th Tuesday, we're going to teach you about the Bible. Get your mind renewed on that, because that's where it starts. Some of you are like, oh man, you see, you live in this worldly kingdom, and you see a Facebook post or Instagram post, and you get so upset and so anxious, and it feels like you're going to die. But then if your mind's renewed, and you look at it from this perspective, and facing it from the kingdom of heaven, it's like nothing. It's like, how stupid is that guy to insult me like that? Man, he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know my dad. That's so stupid, or somebody at school, or somebody in your business. Why? Because your mind's renewed according to what God says about you. If your mind's renewed according to what God says about you, it's easy to interpret and respond differently to a difficult situation. Like what I look in maturity in people is, how do they respond in a relationship? So Lodewijk and I have a relationship. And Lodewijk comes to me and he makes a comment about my nose, for instance. Okay? So I can do a couple of things. I'm going to be, wow, Lodewijk is so insensitive. Yes, man, I don't want to speak to him because I don't like his hair. It's way too long. Or I can go, man, I love the way that God has created me. And I know that the devil wants to steal in our relationship. But love always goes closer. Love always pursues connection. And I'm like, wow, why does the devil want to steal in this relationship? It's funny. He wants to steal something here. I want to kick his butt. I want to pursue relationship with Lodewijk. And maybe next time he makes another comment about my nose, I'm like, I'm really intrigued. There's something here. I need to get something from Lodewijk. Because obviously the devil hates this. That is maturity. But if you're going to go like, man, I never want to speak to him again. I can even see when he does never look me in the eyes. He always looks at my nose. And some of you are like that. I was like that. But I've learned to renew my mind according to what God says, about what the Scripture says, what the kingdom of God says. And I know, especially if there's those kind of situations in relationship, I know there's something. The devil tries to keep me away from something here. I'm going to go for it because I know it's so good. And even those of you who are married, these small things that we can so easily harden our hearts towards our spouses. So easily just like, man, I'm not gonna tell her this, or she's always going on about this, or this and this and this, and then you harden your heart. You're like, hey, why does the devil want me to harden my heart here? I'm gonna pursue connection. I'm just gonna go beyond that. And that is renewing your mind. And then the last one is believe in the gospel. You need to have faith in what I'm saying now and what the word is saying. That the kingdom of God's really close by. If you're going to get this, this is really what I feel God saying. If we're going to get this, we're going to change this world. It's not going to be two or three of us. It's going to be all of us. If we're going to get this, that God wants us to change the world, but all we need is faith in this kingdom that's already at hand. It's already at hand. We've had some amazing encounters in Sri Lanka and with people in very, very high positions, and it was amazing to think that in a week's time we could have done what we did in terms of impact in Sri Lanka. Like before the time we prayed and God said we're gonna meet people in high positions. It just happened all the time. Like we would be at a meeting and the guy would introduce me and it'd be the previous rector of the Colombo University. Then we met up with a pastor, and he's like the prophetic voice to the previous oppressor, the president, the previous president. He's probably going to be the president the next when there's an election again. Just amazing, these amazing things. And all we did, we were just a bunch of young guys that said, God, we are willing to be used by you. We're going to step into this kingdom and know that you are our Father and also the King, and you want to do something through us in Sri Lanka. One guy came to me, Cassidy. He prayed with Cassidy, and they saw two eyes opened up, two people's eyes opened up. I don't think she was completely blind, but she was half blind or something, couldn't see well. And he was praying with Cassidy, and afterwards he came to me and said, hey, Pastor, I see all you guys have this thing. You pray for people and stuff happen. Because he was investigating all these miracles that we saw that day. How do you do this? Are they in training for very long? What's happening? I'm like, Cassidy's been on a church for 6 months. He's been baptized the other day on his 21st birthday. It's a normal guy. When we arrived there on the Saturday, the guys told me, okay, no, you're not going to do two services. You're going to do five services at different venues in Colombo, the city there. So I'm like, okay, Cassidy, have you ever preached in front of to a church? No. Thomas has not done that. Paula has never done that. Leon has never done that. Hey, but let's send you. You're going to run the service. And then afterwards, people came to me and said, one guy where Thomas was preaching, he said, man, God just showed up. It was amazing. But it wasn't him. Why? Because Thomas moved from this place. I'm just this little boy from George. I'm to this, man, I'm a little boy with a dad that's a king. And the kingdom can come through me if I'm just willing. And again, the things that I saw them doing, I'm like, I haven't seen that in many mature people. And they were a little too wild for me even. It absolutely blew my mind that Jesus is so good that he could use us, because we were a useless team in many ways. In the sense we left the air conditioner, we got into trouble for using the air conditioner for too long, and got in trouble for this, and didn't really have this whole thing planned out. But then God just used us. Amen. So I want to end off. Thomas is going to share his testimony, and it actually just fits in with the whole freedom thing. Tom is really, he's a man of God, and a guy who's been through the valley of the shadow of death, and he's arrived on the other side so much stronger. So hear him out, and then we're going to just pray for people, and we're going to trust that God does an amazing thing tonight.
Hallelujah.
So I'm born into a normal Christian family. Mom and dad went to the Dutch church, and I would just sleep on my mom's lap the whole time. Yeah, that was my Christian life before this. When I came into high school, things started to become a little rough. So there was this hole in my heart that I couldn't fill, because I never understood God's love, and I never knew what it was and where it came from. And I usually filled this hole with doing drugs and doing alcohol and lust and all those type of things you fill your heart with when you don't know God. And so it became this bad that I led into depression. Some days I just wanted to kill myself. My brother doesn't even know this, so this is the first time for me to in front of him. And all these things started to happen. I went to see a psychologist, but that also didn't really help. And then at the beginning of last year, we met Omu, and things started to happen. I just saw God's love for the first time. And the big thing about, a great thing about this, in this tough time, I did MMA for like 10 years, and God blessed me with this. And I went to world champs and all these type of things. So I really, really knew how to fight physically, but I never knew how to fight spiritually. And the moment when I met God and I saw his love, he became my fighting trainer. He came and he fought my fights for me. I didn't need to fight anymore, because he fought everything for me. And today I'm a free man. I'm freedom. Hey, freedom. It's me. I'm free of depression. I'm free of doing things of the flesh. I'm a son of God, and I'm proud of that. Amen.
Okay, let's do an exercise here. We're going to get, so we sort of know what the kingdom of God looks like now. I try to paint a little picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. So we're going to trust God that he brings that kingdom into specific lives today. So what I want you to do is, and I've already asked a couple of people, I want you to close your eyes and ask God, what is the one thing that he wants to address tonight in this service? And I'm going to bring the mic around. You're going to have one sentence. You're going to say, hey, God wants to heal people of left ear problems, or whatever it might be. Okay? But everybody gets to play in this church. Everybody is part of the team. And that's the great thing. All of us can hear God's voice. Okay? Have you ever heard God's voice? Some of you are going to hear his voice for the first time now. Amen. So just close your eyes, and you're going to trust God for what are the specific things that he wants to do, he wants to bring into lives today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. and speak to us.